Good morning. Wow. Somebody had some caffeine this morning. let me give my two cents on two things coming up real quick. The step one, like Melanie said, if you haven't done it, I know we've encouraged everybody. It's kind of redundant. If you're new here, I encourage you, go through it. There's no commitment. If you do go through it and decide, hey, this is not what I thought it was, then there's we don't hold you hostage or anything until you sign on the dotted line. But it's just a great class to come find out about the church. Also, this Thursday morning, our students are taking 30-plus, a crew of 30-plus to Birmingham for the Motion Conference. Yes, keep saying wow, because we've got like four spots, and we need to fill them. And we will get you, if you know you or a teenager would like to go, we will get you there and give you a great deal on going. So if teenagers, students, college kids, if you got people that want to go, or maybe you're just young at heart, maybe we'll talk to Cam and make an exception. But come see us. We can still get you in and get you going. And they leave early Thursday morning, and they'll be here actually next Sunday sharing about their experiences. And so that's this week. So don't miss that. Don't miss the opportunity if you have a student that's not signed up. Please don't let money be a thing. Come talk to us. I don't ever want that to be an issue for somebody not to be able to go. We want you to be able to go. So come see us, and we'll go from there. Well, this morning you've got a special guest with us. For you guys who have been around a while, you know Kenny Large very well. He's been with us a long time, but I know we have some new folks and some visitors this morning. So I just kind of wanted to introduce him and explain to you his relationship to us. Here at Believers Church, our church government is set up so that we have what we call local elders or trustees, and that's a group of local guys that help me. They oversee the finance. They're the ones I answer to financially. They help set and oversee our budget and how we spend money and where it goes. And they just a great bunch of guys. But then for me, I have what we call overseers. It's another group of elders. And one of them was here not too long ago, if you guys remember, Justin Grace. And my other overseer is Kenny Large. And the overseer's job is me. They've got a tough job. Their job is to make sure that I'm healthy, that I'm staying on the right course, that I'm keeping the church pursuing our vision of one step. And if God forbid something were to ever happen to me, their first and primary objective is to keep the church going, to keep the vision of the church going, to take care of you guys, to not only oversee me, but to make sure you as a congregation are healthy and that we're functioning and that we keep going if something were to happen to me. They also have insight, and then they have input into even my salary. I don't control my salary. Between the trustees and the overseers, they control that. And so it's just a great balance of working together. And it's, for me, I truly believe if you're not under authority, you have no authority. And they provide me with that covering. And Kenny and I have been through a lot together. We've been through the highs and lows of life, some real low lows and some really fun times together where we just can be friends and hang out. And so it's always good to have him here. So if you would, I know we stand up a lot, but just jump up to your feet one more time and give a big Believers Church welcome to Mr. Kenny Large.
Now give it up for Jesus one time. Come on. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Good to be in Believers Church in this cold weather. We've got that in Kentucky, too. I left, and it was in the 90s, and Kathy, I called my wife, and she said, "How's the weather down there?" I said, "You know how hot it is back home?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "It's hotter here." But it's good, amen. Good to be with all my friends. Good to be in the Sim Hotel. Hallelujah. Always like staying with Bob and Tammy, and Penny's there, man. Some good food, good fellowship. We have a good time. Me and Bob works out all the problems of the world. We solved them all yesterday, so everybody should be good to go. Hallelujah. God is good. And good to be with Clint and Melanie, great special friends, and the girls. We went to eat last night, and Mabel said, "Is Mr. Kenny coming to the house?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. You want me to come to the house?" She said, "He has to come to the house and see my new bed I got." So she got new bunk beds, and got to hang out with her and Mabel, and meet the dog. I met Molly before, and Mabel told me one thing. The dog licked my hand. She said, you may need to go wash your hand. She said, well, I said, why? She said, because that dog eats chicken poop. I know I said poop in church, but you're all right. Y'all understand what it is, all right? But I just laughing at her, and we had a good time, amen. So good to be yourself. Man, you just got to be yourself. Be who you are, amen. I bring greetings with Kathy. She couldn't come with me. She was wanted to come, and we were going to try to come a couple days early, stay a couple days later and go to Savannah because she's never been to the Savannah area. And but she had a skin cancer thing removed on her chest, and she went to the doctor on Friday after they cut it out and made sure the whatever thing was taken care of, so she got a good report. It's all good. Amen. God is good. Amen. So she brings greetings, and hopefully I'll get her down so she can see Savannah. Amen. And so her hairdresser just got married down there and come down for a wedding and done a wedding in Savannah. And she's been, I want to go to Savannah. I said, well, there's a great chance. Go to Savannah with me. We can try it next door. Hallelujah. But she brings her greetings as well. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. And I know I have a word from God for you today. And I will share that with you. And then I know that God has done some things in you and in me and in Clint and the church. And believe we're going in a direction that where we need to trust the Holy Spirit more. We need to trust the Holy Spirit more. Me and Bob was talking last night, and I'd come in from hanging out with Clint and Melanie and the girls, and we were talking about a couple things, and one of the things that we talked about last night before I went to bed and went and studied and read and prayed is my normal routine that I do, and I got up this morning, and I felt like the Lord just stirred inside me that sometimes we've got it wrong. That the Holy Spirit is there for us to lead us, guide us, direct us, and help us to make every decision in life. And if we will listen to Him, He will guide us, lead us, direct us in the right direction. But yet we sometimes get in ourselves. We get emotions. And while I was sitting there, I felt like the Lord telling me to type this down. And I normally don't do that very often, but He told me to write this down. People that come in here have come in today many ways. Some people's come in here, they're sad. Some people are beat down. Some people are broken. Some people are hurting. There's other people that come in, they were happy, alive, free, set free. But the sad thing is, many times in church, we can't tell the difference because we put masks on. And me as an evangelist, you all have seen me. I come in many different ways. She said, I think I recognize you. Weren't you the guy here with last time with a ponytail? I said, that was me. I got my summer haircut. But sometimes we go through things in our life. We maybe go through stages. We go through changes in our life. And you know, me and Kathy are doing well. And she teases me all the time because during the summer months, I'm working and cutting yards and exercising more than I do in the summer. I said, honey, you're going to find out I'm like a bear. I hibernate in the winter and I get fatter. That's just what I do. And she said, you need to have your skinny clothes and your fat clothes. And so we went and got me some fat clothes over the summer. Now they're bigger. And I said, that's all right. I'll get back into them. That come winter time. Give me time. But we go through changes. We go through shapes. We go through molds. But see, we come to church sometimes and we put these masks on and we don't know who's really hurting because, how many of you couples have ever done this on a way to church? You're frustrated at the kids. You're frustrated at your husband or your wife, and you've argued on the way, and you're like, come on, we got to go. We can't be late. It starts at 10 o'clock. And what time is it? It's 10:05. And the wife says, we're in good shape. We've got plenty of time. And it's arguing. And you're arguing all the way to church, but yet when you come on the parking lot, the anointing of God hits you, and you see the pastor, and you say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me. Good to be in church. Anybody ever done that? Winslow, you ought to raise your hand, bro. Just making sure, all right? You listen to me, man, my friend, all right? Winslow said he's coming to Kentucky this week. I'm going to give him a good place to eat. Hallelujah. I wish he'd come and hang out with the Larges. Hallelujah. But you ain't going to get no better than fried taters and fried maters. Hallelujah. But we come in with masks many times. But we got to let the Holy Spirit lead us in a direction that is let Him do it. So let's turn to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read very quickly through this scripture, and I want to, when Clint asked me the notes, I knew it was a little bit long and had to condense a little bit. So on your bulletin, I think it's only like 4 or 5 verses. So if you'll watch the screen, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee, Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deep and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so," you ought to keep getting down, "if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me, I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught, as were the other with him, his partner James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were so amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Now, this is a story, and we think sometimes in life, I think where we miss it in life, we are coming to church and we want God to give us a word or someone through a speaker, a Pastor Clint or Bob, or you know, in a praise and worship with Megan and the praise team. Didn't they do a good job this morning? Proud of you. And we want God to speak to us a word, and we think of that as just going to be here in church, but you know what? The Holy Spirit speaks outside there. Matter of fact, I think he ought to speak more outside there than he does in here. And me and Bob was sharing last night. We were sitting there talking about some things. And he was telling me a story. And he said, "Hey, what you preaching on?" And I teach people a lot of times. They'll say, "Well, what you preaching on?" I say, "I'm preaching on Jesus." And like, "Well, you know, I know you're going to be preaching on Jesus, but tell me what your title is." And I said, I told him I'm going to be preaching on Luke and talking about how Peter was fishing all night and he didn't catch anything. Now, I don't know about if Peter had met Jesus before. I don't think so. But just imagine that he looked at Jesus and these crowds coming and people are following him and he's teaching them. And then he gets so crowded that he looks at Peter and he says, "Hey, I'm going to use your boat." Let me ask you this question. Your most prized possession, what if Jesus came to you and said, "I want that," would you give it to him? I'm working on some sermons on surrender. I'm going to be preaching later on in the year. But would you surrender that to him and say, "Here you go, use it"? That's what Peter did. Now, I don't know. He probably looked at him and said, you don't know nothing about fishing. I hear you teaching these people and they're following you, but I haven't heard you say nothing about fishing. So how do I know you're gonna help me with my fish?" So he said, "I want to use your boat." And then he looks at him and he says, you know, after he talks a little bit, and he says, "Hey, I want you to take your boat and I want you to go out there and I want you to go out into the deep and go." And I believe he pointed at a direction and said, "I want you to go right there." And Peter probably looked at him and said, "I've already been right there. There's no fish right there." Now, it ain't like today where we have fish finders, depth finders, all the things. And they had, you know, we understand it's old school. But Jesus knew. Bob was telling me a story one time that he was fishing and there was a rock, big old rock that no one fished around, that there were no fish. He got up one morning and he said, "Lord, I need to know where I need to go to fish. I need to catch a lot of fish." He went out and he caught, and I can't remember, he'd have to tell you the story. It was like over 100 fish, 300 fish. And he went to the market, took it in to the guy that was buying the fish. He said, "Where'd you catch these?" He said, "I told you, you wouldn't believe me." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because it's a place that there's usually no fish." He said, "Well, why did you go there?" He said, "Jesus told me to go there. The Holy Spirit told me to go there." And he told him where it was, and he said the next day he went to fish, you couldn't get around that whole area. Now, let me tell you a story. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, and he leads you, and he does something for you, and when you tell people that, Clint said about testimonies, but five for five last week, a testimony's going to come. The youth, you're going to have a rocking time next week, coming week, and you're going to come with some testimonies. When the Holy Spirit does something for you like that, it gets off on other people. And I'm sure this, as an overseer, that's what this church is about, correct? Connecting to the Holy Spirit, connecting with other people, connecting with God and understanding. So let me tell you a couple things that happened to me just this week. My wife, you know, we got married, it was a year in February, and I'll be 53 years old next month, and she's a little bit older than me. She's 59, and we were talking one day, and I said, honey, I said, let's take a trip somewhere. And she said, well, where do you want to go? And I said, I'd like to go back to the zoo. She got all excited. She goes, I've never been to a zoo. I said, you never been to a zoo at 59? She said, I said, man, I love the zoo. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, when we go to the zoo, I know you like to take cameras. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I love to sit and watch the animals, and I go back and see some of my family. And some of you got it, some of you didn't. Who said that? It had to be Ken back there on the back row, right? But I said, so then I said, why don't we do this? Well, I said, why don't we take all six grandkids and the kids, and we just go and we're having fun? She said, that'd be great. And so I said, well, let's just call them. We text them all and said, hey, we're going to take the grandkids. If y'all want to go, we can all go. And I said, we'll take care of it. Well, I didn't know how much tickets cost. I stuck my foot in my mouth and said, I'll take care of it. Well, they're $19.99 a ticket. And I thought, wow, that's, then I went. And so I'm out last week, and on Wednesday, it's going to be all right. I trust God. So I'm out and doing, and I got finished with my lawns. I've been trying to find me a new riding lawnmower, and I finally found me one I'm going to pick up tomorrow. And so I turn on the radio, and I know some of you may also spiritual, but it was a classic rock station. It wasn't a Southern gospel station. And so I turned it on, and they said, the 10th caller will win 4 tickets to the zoo. I got my phone out. Brrr. Busy. Brrr. Hello, you're calling number 7. Brrr. Hello, who do I have on the phone? This is Kenny Lard. You're calling number 10. Yeah! So I got 4 free tickets. I got off the phone. I gave him my information. I called my wife. I said, guess what? We got 4 tickets taken care of. She said, no way. I called my stepdaughter, and I said, we got 4 tickets. She said, you are so lucky. I said, no, I'm blessed. Karen, what do you always say all the time? Blessed and what? Blessed and highly favored. So then I went to pick up the tickets on the way here, and it was pouring down the rain where I had to stop at in West Virginia, and I stood in there for a moment waiting for the rain to relieve. I was talking to the lady, and she said, so who are you taking? I said, well, we're taking our grandkids, and I said, we've got 6 grandkids going, and my son's going, and I'm not sure if a couple of the moms may go, and I said, but at least we're going to have them. She said, well, hold on just a second. She goes into another office, slips up the calendar, and pulls out 2 more tickets and said, here you go, enjoy. 6 tickets. So then I call my wife, of course, and tell her first. Then I call my stepdaughter, and I said, Amanda, guess what? Kenny Large just scored 2 more zoo tickets. She said, get out of here. I said, no, you need me to stick around here to help. So she called her ex-husband, and he said this. This is exactly what he said. He said, that Kenny always gets stuff all the time. When I watch stuff on Facebook, God's always taking care of him. What is it? He says, is it karma? My stepdaughter looked and said, no. If you say karma with Kenny, he'll slap a Holy Spirit hand on you. It's being blessed by God. So Peter learned that. He looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, we toiled all night long. We fished all night long. We didn't get nothing. And you want me to go out here and you're speaking to me? But here's a word that in the King James Version it says, nevertheless, that's your word. And this one, he says, whatever you say, God, whatever you tell me to do. There's a scripture in Isaiah which says this in the New Living. It says, he tells us everything over and over, one line at a time, one line at a time, a little here and a little there. I read it for you in the King James Version. You may recognize this. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. He repeats it. Listen, if you miss God, he will repeat it to you. He will show you the direction to go. I have found something out in the last 2 years. When my friend got cancer, I've told you the story last time I was here, and I grew the hair. I found that there's a lot of religious people, because they think you can't be a man and have longer hair, and they didn't even know my heart. And I thought I was going to do it again. I was about halfway there, and it just got so hot, and I just said, I'm getting it cut off. My wife was shocked when she came home. Matter of fact, I didn't wait for you to get home. I drove by the hospital. I said, can you come outside? I got my dog, and me and D.O. went up and showed her my hair. But he shows us things. Now, the title this morning is A Moment with God. Peter had a moment with God. His partners, James and John, had a moment with God. If you will look in the Bible and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as you're reading through, and just think about it and write these three names, Peter, James, and John, every time you see a crisis in Jesus' life happening, Peter, James, and John is there. Why is that? I believe it's Jesus' three amigos. Because you need three people that you can trust, that you don't have to put on a mask. When you're going through something, you can go and say, Clint, man, I'm struggling with this. Not be judgmental. Not be, as soon as you leave, go tell somebody, did you know what Clint done? Did you know what Ken Harlan is going through? And they don't even know. That's not what we're here for. We are here to connect with them and let the Holy Spirit connect you with someone and you help them. I'm going to share something with you. In our area, in Ashland, Kentucky area, 2 months ago, we had a total of 14 overdoses in one 24-hour period. One person died. 2 weeks later, my stepdaughter was driving through Central Park, and she has two kids, one Gracie, she's in the fifth grade, and Jonathan. Jonathan's so excited. This morning when I called, and she said, Jonathan said he's so excited because he gets to go to the zoo with Nina and Kenny tomorrow. She said, not this Sunday, next Sunday. He's four. But they were driving around Central Park coming through, and Jonathan looked and said, Mommy, what's that woman doing naked dancing in the rain? And she says, oh, Jonathan, what are you talking about? Sure enough, she looks over, and then this girl is so stoned, she don't even know what she's doing. Epidemic. So I saw an interview, and this is an interview. This is a person that's not saved. He struggled with drugs. And he got out, then he got saved a little bit later. He said, I'm going to tell you, number one, it's God. Trusting God, putting your faith in God. Then he said, but number two, this is what helped me get through. He said, I had one adult that loved me, showed me grace, showed me mercy, and loved me no matter what. It was a friend. Peter, James, and John came back to Jesus. But here's the kicker. Jesus comes back to all of us. The Bible says that he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And so I wrote some things down here that I want to talk about just very quickly about and get through this morning. I read this in a study that I was doing. But when we talk about a moment with God, a moment, the definition of moment is just a brief period in time. We are so caught up in Christian world anymore that we got to spend hours and hours agonizing, trying to get through, trying to fight through, trying to struggle. But Jesus said, if you will spend just a moment with me, I'll change the whole situation around. But you got to have faith. And so a brief moment in time, and I looked at some words that went with moment, and here are the words. Importance, significant, and interest. So what might be important to us, significant to us, and gets our interest, Peter was interested in what? What did Jesus do? He used that to turn Peter's interest around, to point it toward Jesus. And I don't know if Peter heard what Jesus was even saying. But Jesus turned to look at him and said, and they were over there washing the nets, remember? They're over there washing the nets. And Peter said, Jesus said, hey, let me use your boat. And he got up out on the boat and began to speak. And then he turned to Peter and said, go get your nets and stuff and go out here and cast out into the deep. Go out here and fish again. Peter said, like, you know, didn't you hear what I said? We toiled all night long. We didn't catch. He said it this way, I didn't even get a bite. Didn't get a nibble. How many of y'all fish? How many of you wish you fish? How many of you go to Long John Silver's and Captain D's to get fish? We told all night long, didn't get nothing. But he says, whatever you say, I'll go do it. He goes out there and his net's full. Now remember, Jesus was sitting on his boat. And he told him to take this boat and go out here. And it begins to get full. And it gets so full that then he hollers at his partners and says, hey, bring your boat. Because my boat is getting full. My nets are full. They bring their boat. It gets full. To the point of sinking. And so I thought about, Lord, how do we get to that point? Because I believe Jesus wants us to get there. And I read this in a study. And it says that I believe that God put us here on earth for a purpose. And God has a special shape. Everybody say shape. How many of you know you have a special shape? It's not skinny, fat. He's going like, yeah, I got a special shape. But here's our shape. I want you to write the word shape down on your notes. If you have a pen, I'm going to give you something. I want you to ponder on this because I believe it's going to help this church. And every time I come here, I want something that's going to jump us into the next level. And I believe this shape is going to help you. So the word shape, write it down your notes, down ways. And the word S is this, spiritual gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts, each one of us a spiritual gift, and they may be different. My spiritual gift may be different than her spiritual gift. Her spiritual gift may be different from his spiritual gift. But we're all given this shape, this spiritual gift. And God gives us and gifts us with that for a reason so we can connect with who? People. The next one is shape is H, is our heart. What's inside our heart? What is inside here? See, I dealt with that going through when I was growing my hair long, and I had some people say, "Well, I can't." I've had people, "What in the world are you doing?" The best analogy that I had when I went and got my hair cut on whatever day it was, Thursday, I went down there, and when I went down there and there was a friend of mine that I did not know. She was working at this shop. And she said, Kenny, you don't know how many people. I knew her all my life. She used to date my younger brother. She said, people would ask me, what's Kenny doing with his hair? Why is he doing that? And she said, this is exactly what I told them. She said, to Kenny Large, it doesn't matter what you think because Kenny Large is going to do what Kenny Large is going to do. And she said, and besides that, you don't know his heart. God knows your heart, and he wants to take what's inside your heart, and he wants to use that so you can encourage and help someone else. He wants to take that. What's your name? Who? Sam? Don't be shy, Sam. Come up here. You're about ready to get in a sermon, buddy. Turn and face the crowd. I don't know you, do I?
No, sir.
Do you know me?
No, sir.
So how's God going to connect us? God's going to connect what's in his heart and my heart, and maybe he's went through something that can help me. Or maybe I've been through something that can help him. God has gifted him with spiritual gifts. God takes his shape and uses his shape to be able to be a blessing to other people. What's inside your heart? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Good answer, man. So he's going to take Jesus and he's going to share it with. See that guy right there? Go share it with him. He's like, do you really want me to do this? Thank you, buddy. So let's say our heart. All right? And so when we take our spiritual gifts and we take our heart and we begin to start working on our shape, then the next letter is our A for abilities. We have abilities. Ken Harlan has abilities to work on stuff. He can do it. Charles can work on stuff. He can do it. Listen to me. You don't want me to work on your stuff. We have special abilities. I'm learning more and more. I'm learning, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I use this excuse for a long, long time, my stepfather, he was not a good-tempered man. Let me just say that. And so he would try to show me how to do things. And when he showed me how to do things, it was within about 2 minutes he was cussing me. And ranting and raving, throwing hammers, throwing this. And I didn't know how to do it. And finally, he'd say, see, you just don't listen. I said, I can't listen because you're cussing at me. I can't listen because you throw this stuff at me. And then I really got in trouble when I said, if you would just calm down. Some of you are laughing because you know people like that. But see, he takes our shape, he takes our spiritual gifts, he takes our heart, and he takes our abilities. Listen to me, we all don't have the same ability, but God will use your ability to connect you with someone to help them because they're hurting, they're lost, and they need a Savior, and you can bring them to Believers Church. They can get saved, filled with the Spirit, begin to change, their life will change, and then they can go do that for someone else. That's what it's about. Shape. The next one is our personalities. Oh, here's a good one. We all have different personalities. We're not all outgoing. We're not all shy. We're all not as confident as maybe others. We're not, for whatever reasons. And we're all the time trying, this is so, we're all the time trying to make someone like they're not supposed to be. We all have a different shape. We all have different. Notice on the first one, gifts, it was plural. There's many gifts. All right? Notice that it was H for our heart because we only got one heart, right? But then we got the A's and it's abilities. All right? Plural, right? And then we got to P, it's personalities. It's not just one personality. We all have different personalities. Bless God, Mabel. Man, I'm so proud of Mabel. She got on the gifted. Is it team? Huh? Zoom. And she was telling me. She showed me last night her letter. I'm so proud of her, and she's excited about that, and I'm excited for that. Let me tell you, Kenny was not in that RAM. The gifted class. I was in the detention class. But we all have different, and then it's now that God has changed me and saved me and set me free. A few years ago, I went to get some tickets at a filling station. I can't remember exactly what it was, and the circus was in town. And I went up and I said, I'd like to buy 4 tickets to the circus. And a lady looked at me and she kind of looked and kind of one of those, you know, like your dog looks like. And I said, she said, don't I know you? And I said, I don't know. She said, you're Kenny Large, right? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, ma'am, you can. I said, number one, who are you? And she told me her name. I didn't know who she was. She was several years younger. And she looked at me and she said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, boy, God really changes people. But you know what? She's right. Because when God comes in, he takes and then he uses your shape. He uses your spiritual gifts. He uses your heart. He uses your ability. He will use your personality to help connect with people. That's what he was doing to Peter, James, and John. He had a moment with God. Let's go back. Remember, he had a moment with God. And those other three words, it was important to him because he liked fishing. It's important to him because he needed to feed and take care of his bills. It was significant to him because he needed those things. He had that need. And then he had also the third word was it was interest. He was interested in that. That's what Jesus did. That's what we've got to do if we're going to connect with people. Use our shape. Here's the last one on the E. our experiences. We've all been through different experiences. We've been through things that has been a tough, some experiences you've been through has been tough. I've had a couple. I remember when my son, my oldest son, Shannon, so proud of him now, he's 28, he'll be 29 in December, and he's now moved out of the house, paying his own bills, making his own money. Glory to God, all I got to do is get him off my insurance now. He's working on it. I was teasing this week. I was telling Charles and them back there, Charles and Alma back there a while ago, that he went to, and when he moved to Indiana, he hasn't changed all of his license and put in his car in that state and all that stuff. So he went and took the test 2 weeks ago, and he failed the driving test thing. I said, what are you, now I got to study. But I'm proud of him. He's turned his life around. But there was a time when he was laying in an ambulance or laying on a hospital bed with 2 brain bleeds and thinking, is he going to make it? But God. See, that was an experience that when sometimes some people go through some difficulties like that, and I don't always know the reason of why some people make it, some I don't know, but the only thing I do know is you got to keep trusting God. And our experiences that we go, and the scripture in Isaiah says, he tells us a little here, line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I'm going to keep saying to you over and over. He's telling Peter, get over there and fish in this area. Here's what I believe. I believe Jesus wants to send the Holy Spirit to us, that every time we need anything, but you got to be open enough. See, I think we've got it wrong. I think we thought, well, we're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us when we come to church on Sunday. We'll let the Holy Spirit speak to us when we go to classes, when we go to our breakout groups, whatever many people call them, different things. And that's good. You will get some stuff. I hope you get some things here this morning that I'm speaking on. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you 7 days a week, lead you, guide you around your boss, people you put around. I cut about 19, 20 yards for extra cash. 6 years ago, a couple of girls that I went to school with, dad got real sick, and she called me and said, hey, would you care to cut my dad's grass? Can you go out and give him a price on cutting the yard? I did. Well, 2 years ago, he passed away. Well, his first wife had passed away with cancer or something. Then her husband had passed away with a heart attack. And I went to the funeral home, and I was there with seeing Bob, his name's Bob Hatfield, at the funeral. And she looked at me, and she said, this is my yard guy. She looked at me, and she said, Kenny, will you be taking care? Are you still going to take care of me, even though Bob's gone? I said, yes, Miss Patsy, I will. Well, 6 weeks ago, Miss Patsy became sick. She found out she had bladder cancer. They removed her bladder 4 weeks ago, and now her colon is pinched or something, and she's having some difficulties. So the last 4 weeks, she's been going through a battle, and she's just not really getting better. But her daughter, which I don't even know, I've never met, you know, was making sure that I was paid. And I said, don't you worry about the money. I'll cut the grass for Patsy the rest of the year. Don't you even worry about it. She said, no, Mama's going to worry. And I said, tell Mama Kenny's praying for her. So every few days I'll text and check. And she texted me the other day and said, thank you, because I know God put you and connected us with you that we didn't even know you all of your life, but I know someone's praying for her. And I gave her a couple scriptures to read. And she said this, I don't know what kind of faith she is. She probably doesn't know I'm Pentecostal and tongue talker and slap lay a hand on you and anoint you with oil and just... But I said, listen, this is what the Bible says, and I believe it. You know what she said? She said, I am going to go home, and I'm going to read those. And she texted me back later and said, thank you so much for being there for Mama. Listen to me. You never know who God is going to connect you with years down the road. I've got story upon story upon story that I can tell you. And this has kind of been my lingo for years of preaching out. See, your shape. And you got to understand our experiences, see? And you got to understand that what he wants you to use for his glory, and when we stand before him at the end of the time, all that matters is he's going to say this: how have you used your shape? That's all that's going to matter. How have you used your spiritual gifts? How have you used your heart? How have you used your abilities? How have you used your personalities? How have you used your experiences? And this morning, God wants to touch you in that. If you all stand with me. I want everyone to bow your head, close your eyes. And I'm going to ask this question first. Is there anyone here, the sound of my voice is, Kenny, I don't know Jesus like that. I don't know him as my Savior. I don't know him. I'm not trusting him in that. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand and say, I want to know him. I want to invite him into my heart. If that's you, would you do that and lift your hand up right now? Anyone? Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I'm that point where Peter was at, and I needed Jesus to speak to me. I need a word from him, and what you talked about, shape, and I need to use my shape, and I need to use those things, and this is ministered to me this morning. If that's you, Lord, would you lift up your hand right now? Come on. Be honest. Any more hands? Come on. If you feel led to do that, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not. I just want you to know that, take a step of faith, that's me. I mean, you can say, I need to use my shape more. Wow, lots of hands. Let me pray with you. Lord, I pray, I thank you, Lord, for Believers Church. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Clint, the staff, and all the people that do the things behind the scenes here that maybe some people don't even know, don't even see. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use us. That, Lord, stepping out today, you're going to begin to use our shape more. You're going to use us more and more, and Lord, you're going to be able to direct us, and I pray the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct more. The Lord, sometimes I think in church, Lord, we miss it, and we think, Lord, we just come to church and we hear your voice, but Lord, I want to hear your voice 24/7. I want, Lord, there's times that there's in the Bible that you wake people up from dreams, and you give us dreams, you give us visions. You give us words for people when we encourage and we uplift. And Lord, you maybe there's times, Lord, when you have directed me to pray for someone that's going through something, Lord, and that we're going to be there. We're going to show them grace. We're going to show them love. We're going to show them mercy. I pray God will use our shape for the glory of the kingdom of God. And Lord, the many hands that was raised here today, I pray you touch them and minister to them right now. We thank you. Give you praise.